The Lord has been speaking to my heart about, you know, so many times we pray the prayer, even the Lord's prayer, and we say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And one of the things the Lord wants us to understand is that His will is to be our will. His walk is to be our walk. His work is to be our work. We're here to fulfill the work of the Lord. Amen. And so today, just to build a little foundation, in Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse number 20. The Word of God says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And so when we're looking at getting into His will, the will of the Lord, and what the will of the Lord is for our lives, today's text is found in Philippians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. And I'll begin to read verse number 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me." I want to focus your attention this morning to verse number 13 and 14 for the message this morning. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." The title of this morning's message is "For His Good Pleasure." And He has called for you and I. There's a call for you and I to change. To change, it calls for us to choose. And that when we choose, we cherish those that are around us. Amen? So to change, to choose, and to cherish. Cha-cha-cha-cha. Okay. Can we lift our word together and make a declaration together here today? Let's come in agreement. Repeat after me. Say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have what God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God. We're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you accomplished, that you sent it to accomplish what you sent it here today to do. So, Father, again, Lord, I pray that you speak through me. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. You didn't come today to beat anyone up. You've come to this room today to lift them up, to encourage them, to strengthen them in your power and in your might. So when all is said and all is done and everything that is accomplished, you will receive all the glory and the honor and the praise, for it's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, when I was looking at that, it's in our text, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, sometimes the big thing that we deal with is we learn God's will, but we got to change our will. Amen? In other words, we have to align our will with God's will. And this is normally a battle with us because our flesh usually doesn't want to do the things of the Lord. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's why we get into the word and our faith increases, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So as we study the word and as we minister the word, it accomplishes and grows and multiplies faith within us. So first, there's a call to change. I don't know about you, but every day the Lord is changing me in some shape or some form. Amen. So when he shares his word and he speaks his word to me, it's not just for you. You know, it's for me. It's for all of us. We're all in a journey together. And God loves you, and God has a plan in every heart and every life in the room. And you're here today because God has something he wants to say to each and every one of us today. He wants you to understand how valuable and how important you are. No matter what the world has said, no matter what man has said, God is the final answer. Amen. Amen. So as I look to him as the final answer, first thing I'm going to look at is for me to follow his will, it calls for me to change. Amen. So with that in mind, I was looking at the psalmist David in Psalms 51. The psalmist says in verse number 10, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And when I was looking at that, is to create in me a clean heart. If I'm going to pray that prayer, I've got to allow God to do what God desires to do in my life. How many know that God will not force you to do anything? That God has gave everyone in the room, he's given us each a will. Amen. And so as the psalmist was saying this, he was praying this, he was singing this because he was seeing a need for a change in his heart. His heart had wickedness in it. So he was asking the Lord, "Man, I some of the things I do, I don't want to do, but I just do them anyway. Help me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart." Amen. And when I was looking at that, how do we do that? How do we put that to practice? Well, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. He says this, he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." In other words, my outward man is perishing. I'm growing older. Amen? But my inward man is renewed. My inward man is youthful. My inward man is going to live for eternity. It's going to jump in. It's going to get a body that's a glorious body. Amen? But right now, he says, though my outward man is perishing, my inward man is renewed day by day. Well, if it's going to be renewed day by day, what do I need to, how is it renewed? It's renewed by the word of God. Amen? This is supposed to be the most used book we have in our households. Amen? There's more life that comes from us. But in the world that we live in, it's so busy and so fast-paced, we've got to the point where it's almost, give me a devotion today, and that's all I need. But he was saying to us, you know, whatsoever man sows, that's what he reaps. If we sow the word in there, we want to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. The more, if I am created in his image, the more I learn about him, I become transformed in his likeness. Amen? And he tells you and I in Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it takes action. The apostle said, he said, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. You know, in other words, I've got to put action with what I'm reading. I got to do that. I got to put something on. It's kind of interesting. And time with the Lord, when you're ministering to the Lord, he convicts us of something. Usually a conviction, if he's showing us something, it's for us to take something off. But when we take something off, we don't leave ourselves naked. We put something new on. Amen? And so when we're looking at this, we're looking at to be flowing and operating in the will of God. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, how do I do this? How do I put this to practice in my life? How can I practice what I preach? He says in Romans 12, 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. So when we're looking at this, what the Lord is saying, for us to change it and be transformed, is it takes the word of God. It takes the knowledge of God. It takes the learning about the one we serve. Amen? And we become, it's in anything in life. You get out of anything what you put into it. Amen. The Father desires for us to be victorious. We're more than conquerors. We have all the benefits. Amen. Amen. The church should be the happiest people in the world. Amen. Because of what Christ has done. I don't know about you, but just removing my sins and never remembering them again, that's sufficient for me. Hallelujah. But he says for us to change, if we're going to follow in the will of God, it calls for a change. To change, it calls for us to choose. He says in our text today, he was saying, without murmurings, without whispering, without complaining. Is there any complainers in the room? Hello? Amen? Solomon says in Proverbs 16, he says this. He says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth cheap friends. He tells us in the word, let's not be whisperers and backbitings. If you got something to say to your sister and brother, go talk to them. If you don't like the way something's done, come talk to the pastor. In other words, don't whisper and murmur, amen, because that's how the adversary, that's the stronghold the adversary gets to bring strife and division in the body of Christ. Amen? So he says to us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. The word of God says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Amen? So he's giving us there that this murmuring and complaining that the Lord wants to deal with us on. He tells us in Hebrews 13:5, he said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In other words, sometimes we're asking the Lord to take us to a place, and if we can't find peace where we're at, he's not going to take you to another place until you find contentment and peace where you're at. That doesn't mean that you want to stay there. But in other words, we're resting in the Lord. We're trusting in the Lord. His timing is perfect. Amen? We're not being conformed to this world. We're being transformed. Our minds are being renewed by the word of God. We're choosing how we react. We're not murmuring. And he said, not only with murmuring, he said with disputings or complaining or arguing. And so in Proverbs chapter 17, I love Solomon. It's kind of interesting because God told Solomon that he would give him anything that he wanted. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And because of his wisdom, everything else came with it. All right? Sometimes his wisdom got him in trouble too, you know, but at the same time. So he said in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13, whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. For example, this is kind of an interesting statement. It's just like a dam. And the dam cracks. And water starts seeping out of the crack in the dam. If that crack in the dam isn't addressed, it will open up and burst. Okay? And that's what happens with our words and things that we do. And he says in verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Amen? So he's saying that for us not to be disputing one another. Amen? Being murmuring and disputings, he says, that God has something that he wants to do. And sometimes one of the biggest enemy of what God wants to do is our mouths. He says to you and I, life and death shouldn't proceed out of the same fountain. You know, sometimes we're speaking out loud life, but we're murmuring death. And that goes into the atmosphere and the words are heard. So the word of God tells us in Philippians chapter 2, well, why are you saying this to us today, Pastor? Because God wants to challenge every last one of us to do better. Hello? Amen? The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he says in Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. In other words, Christ is telling you and I, if we're considerate of the other, and we're putting the other in front of ourselves or before ourselves, then we're speaking words of life and not death to them. And, you know, it's just like, I invite you tonight. I'll just say it tonight. The Lord spoke to me this morning, and he spoke to me this morning about having a prayer meeting here tonight. And the prayer meeting tonight isn't for Greatest Freedom Ministries. The prayer meeting tonight is for all the churches and in the area and their pastors and their leaders and their congregations. And the Lord says that we are to be praying for others. Amen. And so he says, "Given it shall be given back to you." So we're coming together to pray for others, to bring encouragement to others. The Apostle Paul to his student Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I kind of argued with the Lord on this, and I argued with the Lord because it didn't flow like the way I like for things to flow, but the Lord said that he has something that he wants to say to the people and be obedient and do what he said to do. Amen? And, you know, so what he is saying to us is he is speaking to each and every one of us because in some level in this area, we all need work. Amen? None of us have arrived yet. You know? How many could do better with the words that they speak? Yeah. So he says in 2 Timothy 2:14, he said, the Apostle Paul writes to his student, he says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charge them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers." Then he says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Then he says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." I think one of the things the Lord is saying to us, so if we have a fight or we have a disagreement, God's called us to fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, where thou art called and profess a good testimony before many witnesses. Amen? That we don't fight unfair. We're not in a battle with one another. Amen? That God's called us all for a purpose and reason. And you know what's unique? I think it's so interesting, the diverse personalities that God brings together into a house. I'm kind of grateful that there's none like me. And that each and every one of us are unique. There's no one else like you. And that God created you uniquely. Amen. With value and with purpose. Amen. And all he is saying to us is hey, he desires for us to come and allow the word to become. Just like the word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of the grace and truth. God says, let the word become and overtake your flesh. Amen. In other words, the word has power. The word has strength. Amen. This is the one thing the adversary doesn't want you to use because it's the only thing that defeats him. My words can't do anything against the adversary. It's God's word. In other words, we became vessels to speak God's word, to take authority and take things back that belong to the kingdom of God. Amen. But it's when Jesus said simple and easy. He said, man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you're looking at life in areas in your life, in your marriages, in your families, and your relationships, in your workplace. Amen? It's the word that's going to change things. It's the word that we're speaking. Amen? And this word is being spoken for. So in closing today, is that all? Yes. And closing today in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. The Word of God says this. Listen. He says, who is a wise man and a doer with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So we're not ones just stirring up strife. We're not ones to be out stirring up anger. We're ones, we're given the ministry of reconciliation. We're the ministers of peace. You know, I never knew when I was a hippie that when I was, all the things I was doing as a hippie, God was going to use for his kingdom. I was using them in the wrong light because I was confused. Amen? But God took away the confusion because he's a God that does things decently and he does them in order. So what is the Lord saying to you and I in closing today? He's simply saying this, hey, you know, God has a will for our lives, and the will for our lives calls for you and I to change. We change by choosing to follow him. And as we choose to follow him, it's manifested by cherishing those that are around us. And sometimes when the enemy comes in, we just need to take a chill pill and be still. You know, matter of fact, in Psalms 46:10, the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. So no matter what the adversary did, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it seemed like, we could choose how we respond to him. We could choose the words that we speak. Because what? Because it's his power and it's his word. And when I'm speaking again to the adversary, I'm not speaking with my words. I'm speaking the word of God. And he says, every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. And he's given authority in his name to speak forth the truth. What is the truth? The truth is this, guys, that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one in the room that has not sinned. The problem with our sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is love. God loves each and every one of us. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. What did the son do for you and I? He died on the cross. He arose from the grave. He paid the penalty for your sins and my sins. He purchased all a place in heaven. The Bible says we like sheep have all gone astray to each your own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And this gift, listen to me, this gift of grace is received one way. It's by faith. By putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible says he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no man can come to the Father but by the Son. So by you and I putting our trust in Jesus Christ, it draws us from our simple nature to God. And if that makes sense to you, God is offering that gift to whosoever will. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. Lord, I'm grateful that you sent your word to accomplish what you sent it to do. Maybe you're here today and you haven't asked Jesus into your heart.